everybody. My name is Shayna, and I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Elevate Your Everyday. Hello, and welcome to the next episode of Elevate Your Everyday with me, your host, Shayna Purcell. And today I am joined by two very special people in my life. They have kept me going literally on days, kept me running up hills, even though I didn't want to, and have taught me a lot about running, and I've taught them a few things or two as well. So I would like to welcome my husband, Matt, and my very good friend, Ron, to the podcast. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Shayna.
Thank you for inviting me.
I've had this episode kind of ready. I think it was like one of my first ideas when I was writing out all of my episode ideas. Because I knew I wanted to talk about running, but as much as you love listening to me talk by myself, it's nice to have people that are also runners, and I would call you subject matter experts, would you say? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ron more on the technical side, Matt more on the,
whatever side you want to say.
Yeah. Combined, we'll know enough.
Yes. Combined, we know enough. We know a lot. So I figured we would just start by each of you telling like a little bit of how you got into running, how and why you got into running, and what running looks like for you right now. Matt, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. I'll start. Thanks, Shayna. So I started getting into running really in middle school. I tried out for the middle school track team when I was in eighth grade, and I knew I was kind of fast because I would always run against everybody in race, and that's kind of how you figured out, you know, who had the bigger ego and who was more macho, how we ran. So I ran eighth grade. I did the 100.
Sounds nothing like you.
No, not at all. Not at all. I did the 100, the 200, and the 4x1 in eighth grade. And I really enjoyed track for a while. My 100-meter record stood at a regional meet for, I think, well over 5 years. And then I started really getting deeper into baseball. By the time I went into my senior year, I was like, you know what? I want to try track again. So I did indoor track. I stopped playing basketball, did indoor track. And we had a great team. I did the 55-meter sprint. I did, I think, the 300 and did another relay 4x2. And then in the spring, I decided to not play baseball. I was hoping to play baseball in college, stop doing baseball for varsity year, my senior year, and I did track. And it was just absolutely amazing. I just had a great time, great connections with friends that I still talk to. We went to the state championships for our 4x1. We finished 7th in the state for all the smaller schools, which was amazing, up in Binghamton. And then kind of I stopped running for a while. I just played more baseball, stopped running, just rec sports here and there. And then about 7-8 years ago, I started to get back into running just every now and then a little bit. I finally did like my first longer 10-mile run or longer, which was I think back in 2016, I want to say 2017. And I just enjoyed it. Just kind of became for me just a hobby on the side. Started running a little bit here and there. When I ended up moving to New Hampshire back in 2016, 2017-ish, I linked up with a local running club, which was Greater Derry Track Club. Shout them out. And that's kind of how I met this guy over here to my left. I knew nobody, nobody at all.
Ron came before me.
Ron came well before. And, you know, made a couple friends, and I just been really enjoying it since. Completed first road marathon this past year. I've done a trail marathon a couple years ago, and just really use it as a hobby, right? We're hobby joggers, I like to call it. Yeah, we're just hobby joggers. So it kind of, for me, started just more sprinting. I ran a couple 5Ks after high school, and that was it. I never really had a big interest. I had friends that ran marathons, and I thought they were crazy. And now I guess we're the crazy ones. So that's kind of how I got into it.
That's, wow. And for those that don't know track lingo, I don't really know track lingo either, but
Short sprints.
Short sprints.
Short sprints. So 100 meters, just one straight away on the track. 200 meters, half of a lap. And then 4x1 is you have a team of four people that each run 100 meters.
Thank you for that clarification. Oh, and the long jump. Okay. I think that's Mia's sport. My niece.
Probably.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And you, Ron?
So my story is a little more unorthodox. How I got into running, I really wasn't supposed to be a runner, and I turned into one.
How ironic.
I grew up as a hockey player. Hockey was always kind of first in my heart. I grew up skating. I played goalie from the time I was 11 years old. Yep. Played town league, rec league, through high school, men's league. And then I joined the Air Force at 18. And as part of joining the military, as everyone knows, you have to do your PT test. So mm-hmm. that's, you know, push up, sit up, run. Guess which part I hated the most? Was the running.
Ah. Go figure.
So once a year, we had to do this test. It was only a mile and a half. Yep. And every year, I seemed to get a little worse at it. Just hated it. Again, they'd make us run 2 miles. I'm like, oh, we all have to run a mile and a half. Why am I running two? So I get out of the Air Force, get into college, meet my wonderful wife, tell her, hey, I'm done running. I hate running. I'm just going to play hockey. I'm just going to play on the weekends.
I wish we had that on, like, tape or something.
Yeah. So I get a call out of the blue one day from some teammates I used to play with in high school, and they say, hey, we're putting together a team for a tournament in Quincy. Like, this is kind of a elevated level of hockey. I'm like, I got to train. Like, I have to actually be in shape for this thing. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I head to the track, start doing some repeats. Didn't think much of it. We moved to D.C., and I got my first real job down there. And, you know, just doing the grind, going in, commuting on the train, coming back. It was 2011. I kind of had a quarter-life crisis type of event. I'm like, I'm just going home, coming back. My wife at the time, too, was noticing my sweet tooth, saying, you know, your blood sugar is a little high. Like, you're exercising, but are you really in shape? Are you really taking care of yourself?
Yeah.
So a few things combined. It was, you know, getting in shape for hockey. It was trying to live a healthier lifestyle. And I joined my first gym, is Anytime Fitness. They're, you know, they have branches all over. You can literally go anytime, 24-hour gym.
Anytime.
Anytime. Owner had a dog there that was there all the time, sweet dog. They had a few treadmills, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I hop on. I'm like, I'm going to go run as fast as I can for a mile and a half, and then the next day, I'm going to run a little bit faster. So I did that I was just spinning my wheels for like a year or two, getting injured, shin splints, not training correctly.
Yeah. Mm.
But then I joined the Prince George's Running Club down in Maryland.
Yep.
So when I started taking a little bit more seriously, I got in a couple 5Ks, and I started training with a group. Of course, that's when things took off.
Yep.
I committed to joining a 10-mile training group. We trained throughout the winter. I completed my first 10-mile 2014. Very happy with the way it went. And at the time, I'd got my cousin into running, who is, as you both know, he's taken off with it.
You got him into running?
I got him into running.
Wow.
My cousin, okay. Nick, I have to take a little bit of credit for that. He's done all the work, but I introduced him.
Wow. Yep.
And he's running his fourth Boston on Monday. Incredible runner.
Good luck, Nick.
We're like brothers. We've always, you know, follow each other's, you know, passions and sport. And we've played hockey together. He's had me try different things. So he texted me. He's like, you know, yeah, you completed this. Now it's time for the half. You know, he was always there to, like, you know, if you want to get faster at the 5K, you need to run 4 miles. If you want to get better, you're like, okay, sign up for a half. So signed up for my first half. And of course, then it took off. It was like, all right, I'm here. I hit my goal. And of course, then he texted me, all right, next year's the full, you know.
So I mean, he was no pressure.
No pressure, right? So he was
he's always such a quiet guy.
I know,
too,
but he gave, he gave me that push. And, just having, you know, as we all know, that support system, those people around you, those people that you train with, good friends, people in the clubs, even family, because, you know, that's everything, too, in supporting what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the running took over hockey. I became a runner and, you know, still play once in a while, but I end up getting hurt when I play. Yeah. I end up getting hurt when I play. It's more to do with my age, but.
Wow.
But so that's how I got in. It was a little bit different.
Yep.
You know, around 2025, and I've been running ever since. So.
I love that.
That's great.
I'll give you the Cliff Note version. You didn't ask for it, but I'll give you the Cliff Note version of my running experience. I didn't start running until like 2008, I think. I was literally that person that was like, I'm going to try to run a mile. Okay, I ran a mile. I'm going to try to run two. Okay, I ran two. I'm going to try to run a 5K. And like literally just ping-ponged all the way to a full marathon. But I do agree with, you know, running with company. I did a lot of solo running, but always my long runs were with the BRC, the Borderline Running Club. They really supported me and got me through those first two Bostons that I did. And just like finding your community, finding your people to run with, AKA you guys. But it is very helpful. So I went from like not doing any running to running all the time. Literally, we had a 3+ year running streak of running at least a mile every day. And usually it was more than a mile, but even when we were sick, even when it was like friggin' freezing, even when we weren't, even when we weren't training for something, we were hungover, like it didn't matter. We still did it. So it's one of those things where like you realize running is just as much mental as it is physical. Like if you put your mind to it, you can do it. And I've been having this conversation with so many people lately. Can each of you share one of your proudest moments or one of your biggest personal achievements in running?
You want me to go first, Ron?
Yeah.
Sure. My proudest moment is really not of me, but it's of you watching you complete the Boston Marathon a couple of years ago. And I think that just trying to get from checkpoint to checkpoint in an Uber, the Uber got lost after coming from Heartbreak Hill to go to the finish line, just running throughout the city. I probably ran 4 or 5 miles just trying to see you. And then I remember coming around a security checkpoint and then hearing a group of people screaming your name. And luckily I heard it was Miguel and Jamie and Smiley
Tina,
and Andrea. And there were many other people, Sammy there. And for me, seeing how hard you worked that day and throughout that entire block and just being surrounded by, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people that watch that race in those areas. I mean, it brought me to tears. And I think for myself, that kind of gave me the bug to want to try to hit that distance, because for the longest time, I think I was a little scared of the distance. You know, I always weigh anywhere between like 200 and 210 pounds. I'm not a skinny mini like a lot of these runners you see happen. And I was intimidated by the distance. And, you know, I saw in person how well you worked. When I saw you right before Heartbreak, you looked completely fine. You looked perfect. And you were just killing it. And I was like, damn, I want to do that one day. I want to be like her. And I would love to try to do Boston one day, just out of respect to you and respect to everybody that does it, because it's not easy. That's why only 1% of the population does it. Mm-hmm. And then you're watching your race kind of supported me to do my own marathon. I was supposed to be doing the Jersey City Marathon last April, and I ended up doing the Cheap Marathon in Derry instead, which ended up being really nice. Pivot. Ron helped me. He paced me for the first half of the race, which was amazing. And being able to see you at the end with everything kind of that was going on and the circumstances and the situation just validated everything and all of that hard work that, you know, didn't go unnoticed at those super early mornings. And I think just completing the marathon at whatever time it was, obviously it wasn't my goal that I wanted to, just completing it. I didn't stop once. I didn't walk once. Kept the same pace the entire stinking time.
Yep.
And I think that's my proudest achievement. So seeing you and then being able to, you know, do the marathon as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Ron, yours must be also seeing me in the marathon.
Well, you know, I was going to start with that. Just, you know, for real, like just the last few years, seeing everything that you guys have achieved with, you know, everything that life has thrown. Yeah, that's inspirational.
Thank you.
So sweet, Ron.
You know, I was listening to your episode about your experiences with Boston, the three that you ran, the fact that you were there in 2013, that you returned, that you came back 10 years later, that, you know, you ran Cheap last year, Matt,
with everything happening.
Yeah, that's, you know, you really can't become more inspirational having those experiences.
That mind over matter.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a cool thing about running, right? Is you get those moments, you triumph over those types of events and you overcome adversity. And that's a big piece of it. It's not always about, you know, hitting a certain time or, you know, qualifying for a race or, you know, beating someone. It's those little victories. It's everything that you do leading up to it. So that's where I wanted to start. You know, and I'll throw in a personal one for me too. Yeah. It was finishing my first marathon. So that was in 2015. My son was very young. I probably wouldn't repeat that cycle or repeat that decision. My wife gave me permission to do it. Yeah. I asked for
Thank
permission.
You,
Thank you. That was a very hard year, training work-wise, a lot going on at work. I'd in the process of switching jobs. We were moving from Maryland up to here with a six-month-old. So going through the hot summer training through DC, no sleep, then coming here, flying, you know, having my son meet his family for the first time, extended family, and being able to, you know, lace them up and lull and take on that course and have that vision in my head ever since I completed my first half. Yep. Like, this is what I want to do. This is, you know, it's
huge. Because Nick told you to do it.
Nick told me to do it, and I did it.
Yes.
I had this image too of, in the end, I was like, hey, I'm going to get a picture with my son with this medal, and I got it.
Oh, like, I love that. You know,
I manifested it. I had an uncle that was like, oh, you know, when he's born, your running's over. Da, da, da. I think he was a little, you know,
jealous
perhaps. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, well, I'm going to get a picture of him and have my medals. And
I
don't like
that.
Being told I can't do something.
Well,
so.
Yeah. There's nothing worse when somebody tells you
you can't do it. Yeah.
How about you, Shay?
I mean,
too many to count.
I think it just depends on, like, they can be big for many reasons. Like, obviously, crossing the finish line for Boston after not crossing the finish line the first time I did it. You know what I mean? That was like a huge thing. I think me and my friend Michelle were inconsolable. I think we were like, whoa. Not that I wasn't. When I did it again a couple of years ago, you know, just that the Boston Marathon is just a whole experience in its own. And even if you don't run it, I highly, highly, highly suggest you watch it and cheer the runners on, no matter what part of the race you're on. Like, as a runner in that race, like, you are what gets us through the race. I'm telling you, like, there's nothing more than the crowd at Boston. And I've been a spectator too. And it's just so cool. And I've said this on one of my reels, you know, like, if you've never gone in to watch a race, even a small town home race, like, do it. Just go and watch you know, how hard it is that people are working.
Pride.
But, you know, I've had some really fast 5Ks and halves back in my day, and I'm very proud of that. I have a box full of medals and a wall full of medals that,
above the chair.
You know, someday I picture displaying them somehow, but, like, I literally have them in a box, and it's sad because, you know, they're just sitting there, and I worked my ass off for all those medals. But no matter how many medals you have or ribbons in the cheap half marathon,
the ribbon,
you should display that proudly. No matter what it is. Running isn't easy, as we know. People, I think, shy away from it. I was having a conversation with somebody today that they were kind of afraid to do it because they didn't think they would be able to. Like, I tell everybody, like, all you got to do is try. You know what I mean? Just try it. It might not be for you. It might not work out, or it might be the best decision you ever made in your life. So, but sometimes there are setbacks or struggles. Like, what are some of your biggest struggles or setbacks that you've experienced in your running journey?
I think there's a lot to unpack in that question. I think that...
I didn't know it was so deep.
It can be.
I think the first part of it is, you know, if somebody's on the fence or wanting to try it, right, running, and they don't maybe know what to do or they're intimidated... The first thing that I would say is really, hey, find a friend who does run or that would be willing to walk with you or even speed walk and just go on, you know, a 10-minute nice, easy jog where you can jog and then walk, jog, walk every, you know, change every 30 to 60 seconds. And, you know, there's not that big of a difference running compared to walking or speed walking. It's all a great form of exercise. It's just, you know, it's just the confidence to start something or the confidence to start something new. And obviously, as we get older in life, it's harder to learn a new skill. It takes time to acquire and to become, you know, an expert in a way with a new skill. Same thing when you start a new job at an older age, mm-hmm. right? It's not easy. It takes time to become efficient at your job. I think that for myself, some of the struggles that have been are really not listening to your body. And I preach this all the time, and I know you do, Shayna, and you're probably guilty of this. And Ron, obviously you're guilty of this because we have some sympathy pains going on lately. But just really not listening to your body or not putting in that self-care and that recovery. If we think about a normal week, or, you know, if we're running 50 miles a week or whatever it is, some people might be 10. You think about all the time you're putting into running, how much time are you actually putting into your recovery? Mm-hmm. If you're putting in 10 hours on the road, on the trails, on the track, and you're not recovering at all, if you're not stretching, if you're not getting a massage, dry needling, grass, and any of that, what's the purpose? You're going to burn out eventually. And your body will tell you certain things. Mm-hmm. And I love on Strava that you can track your mileage for your shoes, because I will forget about the distance. And then every now and then I'm like, oh, I have an ankle pain or a weird calf pain. And I'll turn my shoes over. I'm like, oh, these need to go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They have 250. They have 300 plus miles. This is probably why I'm feeling like this. More so, I've been struggling lately since, I want to say, probably the end of last summer. This guy and I decided to do a trail run, and I bought a pair of trail shoes off Poshmark for $30, which was a great idea, but they were half a size, I think, too big, and I had some weird pain since then and didn't listen to it, just kind of kept running. And then after doing a race in December, I almost couldn't walk for a week or two, and as a PE teacher, I'm on my feet all the time, and I finally went to a doctor after kind of being in pain for 3+ months, and I haven't really been running much this year. We're already in the middle of April. I've run 10 miles. By this time last year, I've ran 500-ish miles, more than that. And it's been tough. You know, a lot of PT. I have a tear in my plantar fascia ligament, and it's tough. But through PT, through listening to foot doctor, friends, and just trying to take it easy, slowly bouncing back, and, you know, been doing cardio different ways on the Peloton bike, you know, trying to walk the rower. I know somebody else is doing the rower a lot lately too. Just trying to figure out, having a plan and talking to people that might not be in the same situation, but that are in your corner, your support team, to try to make a plan so that you can get back to running, and that you can get back to running healthy before you start getting back into something too early. And then you go through the same cycle time and time again.
Never ending.
Yeah.
Right, you're wrong.
Yeah, I'll piggyback off that. I think as runners, we can all relate to getting hurt. And that's just, unfortunately, it's just a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's physically taxing on anything, your legs, your feet.
Yep. Knees.
Your knees, you know, all the important joints, right?
Yep.
Even in your mind, right?
Yeah.
You can burn out mentally.
Yep. For sure.
Just, you know, continuously chasing a goal and trying to improve yourself and not listening to your body and ignoring those little tiny aches and pains, and then they turn into something severe. You're just out on a run one day and it's like, oh, something popped. I'm done.
You know?
And I've learned that the hard way too. You know, started out with shin splints. I fixed that with footwear and strengthening my legs. And after my first marathon, I really wasn't hurt. It's like, okay, great.
Yep.
My second one, I wasn't hurt. Like, all right, I improved my time a little. My third one, I got a calf strain. Mile 18,
yep.
My calf went. And I hobbled the rest of it. I was stubborn. I'm like, I'm still finishing.
Did.
Yes, sir.
I'm still finishing. I was a stubborn boy. So, and then I repeated the same mistake. I got hurt again with my IT band and my quads, and I ended up running Harrisburg with, I was all taped up. I was like one of those memes of the runners, you know, you see on Dumb Runner.
Yeah.
Everyone's taped up and they're just making fun of you, and that was me.
Yep.
And I ran the whole race that way. So amazing. 2019, I started, I'm like, I got to do something different.
Yeah.
I looked up strength routine, started doing the exercises, started doing the work. Even if it was just in my little office with some bands and trying to strengthen those weak areas, and I had my best year.
Wow.
I crushed, you know, what I set out to do, and, you know, I learned a lot. I was like, you have to put in that work in order to fix those weak areas, and otherwise it'll keep repeating. It won't prevent everything, and new issues will come up, but you always have to be vigilant and try to do what works for you. So that's, you know, that can be massage, that can be just alternating different forms of cardio or strength training. I'm on the rower right now, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot about rowing.
Yes.
Form is very important. And I've also started using a TENS machine for my feet, and it's seemed to help a little bit. So hopefully.
Can you remind us what that is?
I don't exactly know what it stands for, but it basically delivers electric pulses to your nerves. So it helps your nerves regain function and it delivers more blood for healing.
Yes. So it's like your personal like stim machine.
Yeah. 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 You just have to be a little careful on the setup because you can electrocute yourself if you don't do it.
Oh. That's
reassuring. Be careful.
So read the instructions before you go out. And
I won't be doing that anytime soon.
I had it in the box for like a month and then finally I'm like, this is ridiculous. I got to read the instructions and just do it.
Just do it.
The rower is amazing too. Cross training. There's so many different things, but to touch on that rower, I mean, you and I have been texting a lot about the rower.
Yeah.
Just to see the difference on
the rower. I took your advice and it fixed, like, my heart rate was too low on my first two. I'm like, oh, it's only like 100. I'm like, I know it can be higher. So I calibrated to do the, you know, at least 25 a minute.
Yep.
It's a good cadence. And I didn't take any breaks and I'm up to 25 minutes now.
That's impressive. And anyone who's rode a lot knows how the rower can be.
That sounds
tough.
Like torture for 25
minutes. I need headphones and I need, you know.
I mean, I love the rower. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, 25 minutes. It's like when I tell people I've ran a half marathon on the treadmill, they look at me like I'm psychotic. I'm like, well, you know, there was a snowstorm outside.
Yeah.
Had to get my run in.
Do what you got to do.
Yep.
We touched upon footwear, and you two are two of the biggest footwear nerds, snobs, geeks,
aficionados, shoe geeks
that I know, but for good reason, because you know a lot about shoes, you know, like the functionality of like what a good shoe is. Having proper footwear is so important. And I've been talking to a lot of people about this because they'd be like, what shoes should I get? Or I was talking to somebody that was having some frontal foot pain and we were talking about shoes and different kinds of whatever. But so you guys have collectively many pairs of shoes. Ron has a system.
Ron has much more than I do.
I know,
Ron
but
has four times as
I'm
much.
A bad influence.
How many? Yeah. How many pairs of shoes? Do you
should
have?
We talk about how many pairs of shoes?
We
Nick
should start
has.
With that.
Nick has, I think, more than probably both of us. Become, he's the worst one.
Yeah,
I have one pair.
Yeah, that's your problem.
No.
Yes,
it's the right shoe for me, and it's fine.
Well, as you're talking about shoes, it's important to have different types of shoes.
Or no, my podiatrist said these are good shoes for me, and I stick with it. And I have inserts for my flat feet. Yes, I'm 90.
But you don't just wear one pair. You have the same pair, but you have multiple of that pair.
Yeah. I have multiple pairs of the same type of sneaker.
Okay.
That's
Asics,
the key.
Asics GT2000.
That's the key.
Shout out. Amazon good, only.
Good Amazon for cheaper. Good for flat feet and shoes that are people that need support. I think we have props.
Yes.
For those of you listening, Matt and Ron are unveiling some of their sneakers.
All right. So the question was, as we're talking about shoes,
so
just kind of like what works?
Yeah. So like what's your shoe that, what would you say?
Can we put these on here? Is that okay? Okay. I figured I would just ask first. Ron put
Not
them
on the
without
nice
asking
new
permission.
Table.
It's okay, Ron. You're the bad boy.
Wow.
So for me, everybody's different. When I first started running, I only ran in the Brooks Launch series. I started with Launch 1, and I went all the way to the Launch 6 model. By the time it got to the Launch 6 model, for me, I was using that for all my runs. I didn't know a lot about running, but I started to get really bad plantar fasciitis, and I had it in one foot for almost a year. And I realized, I think by the time they got to their sixth model, their sixth version of it, they used a different manufacturer. So I kind of got away from Brooks for a while. Until a couple years ago, I got a new pair of Brooks, the Hyperion Tempos. Use those on the track, right? You don't want to run a lot of distance in them, but they're good for speed. They're much lighter. They are a little stiff on the bottom, and I think you'll probably talk about Brooks. They are kind of stiff on the bottom, but for anything track-related, this kind of works well for me. Ron also got me into the Asics Nova Blast. So we started on Nova Blast 3. I went through two of them in my marathon build. I think I probably put almost 300 miles on each of them. They fit amazing. They got into the fourth version. This is the fourth version right here. I still wear this to school and everything. And I really like the Nova Blast because
it's really more about the colors for me than it is for the shoe. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, of course. You have to look good.
No, all the good ones are always ugly. All the ones I have are always ugly.
That's because you only have one pair of shoes. You're very limited. I have a really high arch per Samantha Zimmerman. I have the highest arch of anybody she's ever worked with, 5 centimeters. So it's not really a good thing. But lo and behold, the Nova Blasts are one of the best shoes for people with high arch. I also tend to overpronate. So when I step in, I'm landing and I'm curving in, which I shouldn't be doing. So that kind of tries to stabilize them a little bit more. Ron will also talk about, I would assume, that now we're on the fifth version of the Nova Blast. And I think probably between him and I alone, we've fitted probably, I have at least 10 friends that wear the Nova Blast now. Maddie got into them. Harold got into them. My brother got into them. Robbie got into them. I mean, the shoe has just evolved so much more, and it's gotten better. It's gotten lighter. And I'll use this for every day, obviously, for speed. And then we have a racing shoe, so I could do long days in here. Some people like to do the recovery in there. My racing shoe over here to my right is the Vaporfly 3s. I love them. They're super light. There was so much pop in them. I started on the Vaporfly, the first original, which I think they called the 4%, which I believe is that one right there. Is that correct? Is that the 4%?
It's
or what one is that?
Flyknit. The Flyknit. This came after the
geeking
original.
Out.
Yeah.
After the original.
They're after the original.
So it's plated carbon fiber plate along the entire shoe. And that got me through all my races. I think I only have 90 miles on it, half marathons, the full, a lot of 5Ks. It's just, you know, it feels like it makes you faster. Maybe it's a placebo effect, but I always love the ASICS Nova Blast. And it's important to have different shoes for different days and for different intensities. It's important to switch them up. And just as shoes are important, I also believe socks are extremely important as well. People will wear super thin socks and then they'll get blisters or hot spots. Yeah. I mean, you really have to have great socks. It's just as important as the shoes. If you have great shoes and crappy socks, you're going to have an issue. So I could talk for like hours about other shoes.
Heartbreak Running Company has great socks.
They do. Yep. I like Smart Wool.
Shout out to Heartbreak.
Smart Wool socks are what I use as well. Heartbreak, I mean, yeah. All right, Ron.
And Ron.
2 hours. You're up.
Tell us about your shoes.
Oh, I have so many. So
how many pairs do you have?
So if you're counting the active, what I'm running in currently,
that's right.
That's 32. And then if you 32. Look at the retired, I have 92 that I've retired.
Holy shit.
Not in my house, but just that I've tracked.
Retired!
Jamie's going to kill
92.
You.
92.
92.
Wow.
But now these are shoes that I've tried. Maybe I didn't like. You know, I put a few miles on them or I just got bored of them or whatever the case was. And some of them I ran out. So
shoe whore.
Yeah.
But you have like a tracker.
I do. So I'm a spreadsheet guy.
Yeah.
I have a spreadsheet for everything. There's a spreadsheet for every situation, every contingency, and shoes are no different. Shoes are built in. Matt saw this thing and
I need a copy.
You do.
I feel bad because you put so much time into it. I feel bad if I were to use the same spreadsheet of my own.
You can totally copy it.
You could sell that.
You should.
You could sell a version of it.
I probably could, yeah.
If you'd like to contact Ron.
He can be reach at hope underscore catalyst.
So
oh, no, he changed his name.
So in this spreadsheet, it's the name of the shoe, when I bought it, how many miles it has, the specs, so weight, the stack height, the drop, and for those of you who aren't familiar, they measure that in millimeters, so they go from heel to toe. Most shoes have something between a 4 and a 10 drop, millimeter drop, depending on how the shoe's constructed. And that can influence a lot of things, depending on how you land, your foot strike, your gait, how strong your muscles are, how strong your calves, your quads, all of that factors in. So finding the right shoe, going to a running store, getting fitted, is a much better idea than taking random advice on the internet. You can read reviews and they give you context, but just if you're getting into it, please, please, please go to a running store and get fitted.
Yep. Don't Google it.
Yeah. They will try to put you into something, most likely a Saucony or
Brooks
or
Ghost.
Hoka.
Yep, or Hoka.
It might work for you.
Yeah.
It might work for you, and that's great. But once you get that sense of what works for you, you look for similar options and you branch out from there. I started with Whirl Away, got fitted at Whirl Away. They were like, you know, they kind of got my gait a little wrong. They're like, oh, you need a stability shoe. So this, I brought this one in just as a reference. This is a stability. It's the guide, the Saucony guide. And I think this was version 8. Yes, version 8. And I wrote on the back, first marathon from 2015. A little,
I
like to write.
That.
These are Hall of Famers. So that's why I brought them.
Hell yeah.
You can see just like how heavy this thing is. And it has the stability element to it.
Right inside.
Reference, yeah.
It's like a brick.
Yeah.
It is heavy.
And running, you know, it was like a 9-something pace in this, You know, I don't think I could do that today.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. No. This is something you take on an easy run now. And then just the way that they're constructed, there's no give to this. It's so stiff. So this is just in 2015. And then in 2019, this is what I raced in. This is the Nike 4% Flyknit, yeah, which came after the original 4%, like we missing were saying. And just the weight difference on this alone, it's, yeah, substantial. And this was one of the first super shoes to come out on the market. This was my first super shoe.
Yeah.
And again, maybe it was a placebo effect or training correctly or, you know, having a good year, but I was able to break all my records from 5K up to marathon in a single shoe. So that's saying something. Yep.
That's crazy.
You know, I could probably still run in this thing and be okay, but,
yeah,
you know, I'm letting it enjoy retirement. So, but currently I run in so many different types of shoes and brands, but I tend to stick with Saucony, Brooks, Skechers. I have a fondness, as people know me, for Skechers. It's kind, mm-hmm, of, I think they're underrated. They're going to be making a comeback this year. They're actually bringing in more models. So I'm excited, mm-hmm, about that. Asics, like Matt was saying, the Nova Blast has been very good to me. I've had version 3 and version 5. Puma, actually, too. I've, yeah, raced in the Puma Deviate Elite, which kind of replaced the Vaporfly for me after, I think, the Vaporfly changed a little bit. It didn't really work for me as well. But you don't need 32 pairs of shoes.
No.
You don't.
I mean,
I blame running.
Some would argue you do.
I blame running shoe geeks, all the shoe tubers, you know, Kafuzi.
Shoe tubers.
Kafuzi.
Kafuzi. It's Kafuzi's fault. Sam from Road Trail Running.
I don't know who these people are.
My cousin, you know, it's just a bunch of influences that caused me to keep doing this. But I, you know, I just love them. I love trying out different versions, seeing what works, what doesn't. I run in almost like anything. I'm wearing Saucony Kinvara right now, which is a very natural, flexible shoe. And then sometimes I'll run in a 361 Nemesis, which is the opposite of that. It's a stability shoe. It's a lot like this,
yep,
with a high drop. So I'm an advocate of running in different things if you can to strengthen those muscles, to get that variability in how, yep, how you're running. Some days a little harder on your calves. Some days you want to put that stress on your quads. It's, you know. And have them for different purposes. Once you really get into it, have a shoe for easy day, have a shoe for racing, have a shoe for workouts at the very least, have a trail shoe. And, you know, you rotate those as you go through.
For sure. Do you know the weight difference between the first marathon shoe and that, like, ooh, roughly?
So officially this one, I want to say this was about low 10 ounces,
yep,
officially. Now I'm a size 11, so, you know, I'm going off the 9.
Right.
I'm being very technical right, yeah, now. The standard size is 9,
yep,
for men, so 10 ounces or so. This one, probably about 6 and change, 6.5.
Right, and now looking at the new Vaporfly 4s, what, ooh, are they down to? They're like,
ooh,
they're even like lighter.
Below 6.
Yeah, below 6.
Below,
like,
6.
I don't know if it's like 5.5. It's just crazy.
Do you ever feel, yeah, like you're like not part of the conversation? You're just like...
Sorry, Shane.
I knew this was going to happen. No, I wanted you to talk about sneakers because you two are the go-to for, like, what sneaker should I wear? You know what I mean? I feel like if anyone asked me a question and I didn't know how to answer it, I'd probably ask one of you for advice or direction on how to give them.
But it all depends, like Ron said, like what works for us, what works for Ron might not work, mm-hmm, for me. What works for you, Shayna, might not work for me. Everybody's gait is different, how they walk, how they stand, how they run, how they displace their weight. Mm-hmm. So really go to a store like, yeah, a Runner's Alley, Millennium Running, mm-hmm, something like that.
What's
where
the
they
place
can look
in Lowell that we were talking about?
Marks.
On the Marks. Or
yes.
Marks.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great. I went there a few weeks ago, got fitted for the Nemesis, walked out. It's incredible shoe. They have a really good story behind it. So shout out to them if you have a chance to visit.
Yeah. That's great. Oh, yeah. Ali Savo, that was on my podcast in the beginning of the podcast, I had asked her a couple questions and she actually recommended them for going to get your gait tested. Mm. 'Cause I've been having a lot of conversations with people about gait and shoes and everything with, like, you know, ever since we've been started to talk about running and my running program coming up, it's like people coming out of the woodworks and
nice,
you know, it's, you know, they're like, oh, it's time to get back on the road.
Yes, it is.
I know you're looking at me.
Yes, ma'am.
I have yet to get back on the road. Well, that's a lie because the other day I brought everybody outside and I kind of like jogged with them while they went outside. But like today would have been a beautiful day to go outside and run. And instead I ran on the treadmill for a mile, but I felt like it was a more controlled environment. There were other people there. I'm just not quite there mentally yet. I think physically I'd be okay. Between my injury before all that stuff happened and then that, like, I just, it's that mental hurdle I need to get over. So, you know, everybody has their things, you know, but I'll get there. We talked about this. We talked about that. What's your favorite race that you've participated in?
Ooh, easy. I am a team guy, right? I've always loved being team sports. I'm not an individual person. You won't see me on a golf team or anything else or tennis, but my favorite races have always been either Mill City, which this guy got me into. I ran that with Ron. I ran it with Nick. Ran it with Tavon. We've done that a couple of times. We actually, this past year, we won a brick finally. So shout out to our team. Got a brick, and you can talk about what a brick means if you would like.
Sure.
But Reach the Beach, Ragnar. Shayna got me into that. Shout out to Ragnar. Shout out to our team. We had, you know, we did an ultra
the
first
time. What's the name of our
team? Born to run.
Born to run, baby. And what's our tagline? Never fast pace, always a good time.
Hell yeah, freaking right, baby. So the first time
you can swear.
Well, no, I know his kids are going to watch, so I got to be careful. The first time we did it, we did a six-person team, six people split between 200 miles, and that was a grind fest. Mm-hmm. We did the ultra. And that's, you know, that was my second proudest moment ever, is just being able to grind for that long, barely sleeping. It took us 36 hours to do it. And we all did it. And I was so proud of everybody. And then we ran it back the following year and we had a team of 12. So shout out to our van. We had a great van. We had a great team. Uncle Sean, Miguel, Jamie, Alana, Scott, Andrea. I mean, us three. It was a great time. Kristen's husband. And the other Kristen as well. And yeah, we just had a great time. And it was, you know, it's really fun to just be able to accomplish something while you're exhausted and tired and you're not sleeping, and to do it with your best friends and your wife and people who are your family, because the friends become family and then it just becomes normal, right? And being able to pass people and get those kills is what we call them. You pass somebody in a race at the end and you're just marking them off.
It's a whole vibe.
It's a vibe.
Yeah. The race is a whole vibe.
Anything team related, I'd say.
Right, you, Ron, what's your...
You almost stole my answer there. Yeah, the team Ragnar. That's, you know, partially why I wore this, you know, like, hey, I got to
represent
Ragnar. The first one you wrote me into an ultra.
Didn't
really know what I was getting into. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. And, you know, there was a moment, I think I was taking on that section in Meredith, and that was like my third leg or something. That's a tough one. That's like 9 and change miles. It had a lot of hills. And this is, it's almost midnight. And
you run all for 24 hours.
By this point, you know, and you still have another 16 hours to go. I still had like 2 or 3 legs left. So, but you know, you're in that situation. You don't want to let your team down. You want to do your best, not burn yourself out, but give a good effort. And mentally, you're unlocking another level.
Yeah,
you really are.
You really are.
And
fighting demons.
And it's the same thing. It's almost like what you hit in the later miles of a marathon.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Mm. Where you're just willing it into existence. You're bringing out whatever you have left.
Yeah.
I'll share something too. I lost a good friend a few years ago to cancer, and he was a runner as well. And I had his bracelet on at the time. I was texting him throughout the race, you know, and, It's those kinds of things that help you get through those events. You're saying, hey, what I have to do is nothing compared to what other people are doing. Other people can't do this. This is a privilege that I'm here, that I'm able to do this.
We get to.
So you keep everything in perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always a big motivator for me. So, and I still wear it when I race. I still wear that.
I love that. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that, Ron.
Yeah. Sometimes it's what inspires you is what drives you. It's what keeps you going. You know, like during the marathon, the Boston Marathon, you pass by so many people that on their race shirts, it'll say like, I'm running in honor of, or I'm running for my mom who passed away, or my uncle who's fighting cancer. You know, it's like, wow, I'm out here, you know, running. And I always ran for charity because never qualified. I know you're shocked.
Yet.
But running for charity is amazing too, because you get to give back to that charity. And shout out to Hole in the Wall Gang that I got to raise money for a couple of years ago. But it's just, it gives the race a bigger meaning. Mm-hmm. You're not just there for yourself and to run that goal and get to that finish line for yourself, but you're running it for the people that can't. You're running it for the people in honor of or whatever. And it just, it's such a sport that, like, you know, I guess you could, it's just unique in that way where you can, you can frame it around that. It gives it a sense of purpose. You know what I mean? More than just like going out and running 5 miles.
Yeah. And I'll share too. I met with a good friend a few weeks ago in Lawrence. He actually is featured on Boston.com. His name is Jeff Polino. I went to high school with him. I've known him for quite some time. He's doing, and if you know anything about Boston, you know this is crazy. He's doing both the Tough Ruck at the Minuteman Trail with the full rucksack, and he's doing Boston.
Wow.
Same weekend. Wow. So he was featured as one of these, you know, superstars that's God doing both. Him. He's running for
Jeff
Polino. He's
Jeff
running.
Polino.
He's running
you go,
for
Jeff Polino.
Yeah, he's running for the Military Friends Foundation. So, check them out. Check out his page. He's he's
incredible.
In the thick of it.
Wow,
incredible. He transitioned to Ironmans and half Ironmans, and he's just an incredible guy. And he's raising so much money for veterans and their families. And he's just one of the area's biggest advocates for veterans. Served also in the Air Force. So, you know, we have a lot in common, and just proud of everything he's doing and proud of everyone that raises money for Boston. I'll just say that there's this, debate in the running community about Boston, about qualifying and about charity runners. What people don't realize, the charity runners also have to train and they have to raise.
Right.
You're
That's
doing
like
both.
A,
it's a full-time job to do both.
Yep.
It is.
To do both. And it does so much good.
Yeah.
But it makes it even that much better when you're that much more worth it, I guess, at the end.
And it's interesting too, not to change topics or subjects too much, but when you're talking about Boston and the number or the amount of people, they said for the New York City Marathon, they had over 200,000 people try to get in, to enter the lottery.
Wow.
That's amazing when you think about the increase or just how popular everything is still continuing to be, especially in this society, because we know that running is technically
free.
You don't need a membership,
except for all this.
When
except for
you
that.
Buy all the swag or the heart rate monitors
right.
or
we
the
love
watch,
the swag.
The massage gun.
The massage gun, going to see Larry, aka the butcher. Yep. Shout out Larry. He'll be breaking records before you know it as well.
Exactly.
It just adds up. So I just wanted to throw that in there because just amazing. Because like the sport's not slowing down. It's not. More and more people are doing it. You can start at any time. You can start tomorrow. You can start tonight, next week.
And
I hope some of you are listening to that advice.
And if you are running, you are a runner. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter your pace. Doesn't matter how far.
One of my proudest moments during one of my races early on, I remember, it was like one of my first 10Ks, and they were just cheering us on and just being called a runner at that time. And it was like, I didn't feel like one. I was like, oh, my pace isn't as fast now, mid-pack or I'm towards the end. But just being called a runner just... again, doesn't matter. You don't have to be in the front. You don't have to be winning things. You don't have to win your age group or even come close.
Yep.
You complete it. You are in that race.
Yep.
So that's you're improving
so
yourself.
True.
A 5-minute mile and a 15-minute mile are the same distance.
Exactly.
Right.
It's the same exact distance. Just try it.
And everyone's journey is different and everyone's approach is different, and that's okay. It should be that way. Because if not, what's there to work towards?
Right.
Just personally, really quick, my favorite race Boston is Wallace Sands Half Marathon.
Ooh,
okay. Gets a little squirrely there coming around the corner with the wind and you don't know what the weather's going to be like in May or whatever. But I love running at the beach. That's like my happy place is to run at the beach. And I can't wait to try to run at the beach this summer. But there's like nothing like it with the sound of the waves and everything. So if you ever get a chance and you want to look for a race that's by the ocean. There's also Rockfest and everything, but I just love Wallace Sands. I just love being in the town of Rye and just, it's very quiet and just love it. Finish line is great.
Spectator friendly.
Yeah, spectator friendly, and run at the beach. That's my suggestion too. Mostly flat. Ron likes hills, so if you want to kill some hills, Ron will take you to all of them.
It's not hilly. This route is not hilly.
It's flat.
800 feet of gain later.
Rolling hills.
Flat-ish.
You're going to get that tattoo.
Yeah. Or that time that Jen sent me on that run and she was, and it was like literally hills the whole time. Thanks, Jen. Love you.
It was during lunch. Yeah. That was a tough.
Well, we're winding up here because we literally could spend 2 hours.
I didn't realize it's almost been an hour.
Right? I know.
You asked four out of your 12 like, questions. Hey.
I know. We knew that we weren't going to. But given the essence of my podcast. And there's always, my DMs are open. I'll share their handles too, if they'll allow me. And like, always open for questions, suggestions, guidance, whatever. You guys know I'm a run coach. So, if you want to get started and you want to work with somebody in person, virtually, whatever you want to do, there's that. But for the two of you, how would you say running elevates your everyday?
So I was getting ready and tried to write a list of everybody that I ran with over the last few years. And as I started to type it out, I realized that I've run well over with 20 to 30 plus people over the last 2 or 3 years. And for a lot of us that are so busy that work a job or are raising kids or the kids are in sports or you're working 2 jobs or 3 jobs, sometimes that's the only time that you can spend time with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Ron and I have known each other for... God, 8 to 9 years. Mm-hmm. We've recently only got together for the first time out of a run within the last year or two, I think. And to me, that's crazy because we always spend so much time together. And Ron, was a friend and now he's a best friend. And I consider Ron my family now. And we have
our roots that we do, like the Starbucks loop or the Crystal Lake loop. I love that we're like, oh, they say they're going to do this route. And then I know what they're talking about. Oh, we're going to do the market AP, basket.
The AP.
Yep. So
the Crunch Fitness. I mean, we literally have taglines and everything. But it's just amazing when I think about everybody that I shared miles with, whether it's in a team race or it's a friend or your barber or your family members or you're going back home and you're running with your brother and, all of his police officers, friends back home. But for me, running has elevated my everyday because for me, it's been a sense of almost in a way therapy, right? It's my time to just go out, forget everything else that's going on, leave my phone away, just kick it with my friends, my wife, my best friends, family, and just to kind of be in the moment. And I've really appreciated it so much more when it's taken from you. You don't appreciate what you have till it's gone. And by not having it these last 3 or 4 months, I've learned the toll that it's really kind of taken on me, both kind of physically and mentally, not having that outlet. It's a great outlet. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it elevates my everyday because it just makes me a better person. It makes me feel better. It makes me just feel better about myself. And it gives me that purpose to wake up in the morning. And I know we didn't talk about this, but when you wake up and you have to start a run at 5:30, 6 every day, whether it's pouring rain, snowing, icy out or whatever, you just know it has to get done. And there's two types of people. There's somebody that just like, hey, it's nasty weather, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to stay inside, go on the treadmill. But if you sign up for a race, you don't know what that race weather is going to be like.
Right.
And if you fundraise $10,000+, you're not going to not race because it was snowing or raining or 80 degrees like it was Boston last year. So I think it's important. Like, you got to just develop that grit over time. And it's that mental perseverance. Yeah. It's just as important as what you do physically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so, I say it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And I'll add another term to that's resilience. That's the piece for me. I mean, the social piece is also extremely important. You wouldn't come across all these great people if you weren't involved in this sport.
Right.
So the Greater Derry Track Club, my old track club in Maryland, you two, just sharing all those experiences, that's above everything.
Yeah.
On a personal level, though, I think it is resilience. It's teaching you to endure a difficult process. Most people don't enjoy running at the start. It's like your body's screaming for you to stop.
Yep.
And in order to push through that, it takes a lot.
Yeah.
It takes a lot. I just remember being in a lot of pain when I really started pushing myself to get to 4 or 5 miles, and really beyond that. I want to reference two things. I was listening to Shana to your points about or your quotes that you were throwing down about resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly like FDR, there's nothing to fear except fear itself. Also one that is somewhat attributed to Winston Churchill around that time, although it's debatable. One of my favorites is if
you're going through hell, keep going.
Yes.
That's a huge one.
Yeah.
That's to me. And one of my favorite poems, probably my favorite, is called If by Rupyard Kipling.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorites, I think that kind of sums up what I want to achieve ideally, or, you know, how I view everything. And there's two pieces of that I resonate with. And the first one is, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, right? If you can look at something, go for it, but it won't destroy you. If you don't quite reach it, you go through that process and you are able to enjoy that process.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same.
Damn.
That's what I would listen to. Love. I listened to that poem before I race.
Yeah. Oh, love that.
Damn.
There's a YouTube channel, Unger Motivation. They had a video, a montage of a guy running mountains and then with this poem. And it's like, oh my God.
You're like, oh.
You know, I'm not so much for that. Like, you know, like I'm not so much in the David Goggins and, you know, like I just don't want to be screamed at the whole time.
Yeah.
But that just resonated with me. It was like, you have to view everything through that lens. You have to be able to treat everything, you know, the same. You have to say, you know, you celebrate your wins, but also if you don't get there, celebrate the process and take those lessons and try again.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny going off of that too. And like, I always think there's like two types of people. There's day one or one day. And it's like, what are you going to be?
Yeah.
Is today day one, or are you just going to keep saying one day I'll do this one day. And then the next day will be another day.
Yeah.
Day one or one day. What are you?
Yeah. And for me, I am with you. When I wasn't able to run, I had no idea how much running had really been a part of me, like mentally, physically, everything. So to have that like scooped away from me for a little bit of time was really hard to push through. You don't realize how much you love it until it's gone. And that's why I preach and preach and preach that it's so good for so many reasons. And anybody and everybody could and should try. Just at least try. I think it'll be worth it. And I think it will surprise you. And it's not for everybody. It's okay. If you try it and it doesn't work out, that's okay. At least you tried and you know. But what could you be missing out on? Meeting amazing people, achieving amazing goals, breaking through barriers mentally, doing things you never thought you could do, showing your kids how strong you are, you know, being a role model for somebody, being somebody's inspiration. You know, those are all things that like encompass what running is to me. And all of those things, running elevates my everyday. It's not how it does, it's that that's what it does. It elevates my everyday. And I am so lucky to be able to get back at it again and be able to help people start their journey and be their person that I had when I first started running. And I love that. That's the best thing ever. So that being said, that's a wrap on today's episode. We could literally be here for like 3 hours. It's fine.
Yep.
We can do a part two. We could do a part two, right? I'll totally do a part two.
Can we do a part two while we're running?
We like a run in or outside. I don't know if my lung capacity is quite up to par for that. I could talk. I'm a talker. During Jen, oh my God, I'll never forget, just aside, with my running club, we would run and talk the entire time, no matter if we were running 6 miles or 16 miles.
Yeah.
Somebody was talking, we were talking to each other, somebody would be telling a story. It was just how, you know, and it's good because that helps your, like, you know, if you can talk when you're running, it helps your heart rate and everything. I went on a run with Jen, and Ron knows Jen too, and I'm like, yep, yep, yep. And we're just like on a leisurely run. And she was like, I love you, Shayna, but can you just stop talking? Because I can't keep up a conversation with you right now. And she will laugh when she hears this because she was trying to be so kind, but she was also like, shut the up. Like, Shayna, just stop talking. I'm very focused here. But anyways.
Sounds about right.
So anyways, really, this is a wrap on episode 8. Thank you guys for tuning in. Keep sharing it. Keep subscribing. Keep tuning in. It means the world to me. Next episode, TBD. Not quite sure what is on. I have a couple things on deck. I'm hoping to get my friend Andrea on, who also has her own podcast, the main character. And she's a great friend and would be an awesome guest. So she'll be on here regardless. And yeah, I just thank you guys so much. And thank you guys for coming in and participating. This
thanks.
Has been
thanks for having us.
Very
Elevate
welcome.
Your Everyday with me, your host, Shayna Purcell. Have a great rest of your week and happy Boston Marathon Monday.
Let's go. Yay, let's go. Good luck.